If God doesn't scare you to death, you're crazy. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
You're listening to Key Life, Practical Principles for Daily Living. I'm Mike Kellogg, and our teacher is Steve Brown. Now, let's study the Bible together. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope that your time of worship was as beneficial to you as was my time of worship in the church of which I'm a part. And I hope your pastor's sermon was as great as my pastor's sermon. If you have your Bible open to the book of Micah as we continue with our Old Testament survey, I can see some light at the end of this tunnel. So it's only going to be at least, you know, two or three more years, and we'll be finished with this entire Old Testament survey. When we finish with the Old Testament over the next few weeks, we'll produce a little commentary that we'll offer for you when we get there. And I think now, as I look at it, what I'm going to do is just continue with this and go right on through the New Testament and do a New Testament survey. At any rate, we're up to the book of Micah. And if you have a Bible and you're in a place where you can open your Bible, why not open it to that book? Before we study the book of my old friend Micah, let's pray. Father, we lift this week before you. As we begin it, there is a sense of uncertainty, a sense that we're confused, a sense that the future is kind of scary. But Father, we belong to you. You called us before you hung the stars and hollowed out the valleys. You knew our name. Father, you have demonstrated over and over again that we can trust you. Help us to remember those memorials and to lean hard on you. When it's good or bad from our perspective, when it's right or wrong from our perspective, when it's joyful or painful from our perspective, when it's dream-fulfilling or dream-shattering from our perspective, Father, give us to praise you and to worship you. And to thank you for your kindness and your sovereignty. Father, you know everybody who's listening to this broadcast, you know the stuff that's hard, the sleepless nights, the difficult financial problems, the relational and family difficulties. You know the sin and the secrets. Father, we're here, and we're here because you're sufficient. Meet us at the point of our needs as you define those needs. And now, Father, on this week of broadcast, we pray for the one who teaches. Father, forgive him his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've been listening as we've gone over some preliminary stuff with the prophet Micah, we've seen a number of things about Micah, primarily that he whacks and then he hugs. In other words, he's a prophet of judgment to both the northern and southern kingdom, but he's also a prophet of hope. And if you were listening last week, I became a tour director through the book of Micah, and I'm doing that with all of the books of the Old Testament. I give you the handles that'll help you understand the book, and then I'm giving you some verses that I like from that particular book, and we're talking about those verses. There is no way in this Old Testament survey that we can in any way cover the entire Old Testament line upon line and precept upon precept. Before I finish that, I would be dead. And so we're taking each of the books of the Old Testament. If you were listening last week on Thursday, we looked at Micah 1:1. These are the messages from the Lord to Micah, who lived in the town of Moresheth during the reigns of King Jotham, King Ahaz, King Hezekiah, all kings of Judah. These messages were addressed to both Samaria and Judah and came to Micah in the form of visions. We saw that Micah was a farmer. God sent this farmer from the rural areas to speak to kings, and he had to always remember who he represented. Edward Ellison, who was the chaplain in the Senate for a number of years, was an acquaintance of mine. When I was a young pastor, he was living in the town where I was serving, and one time he invited me to his house for lunch. He had served a number of presidents and was in the corridors of power for years and years. I still have a book of prayers that he wrote that I find to be quite valuable. At any rate, we had a nice lunch, and I started asking him questions about Washington, D.C., and the places he had been, and the presidents that he had known. He said, well, if you'd like to see it, I'll show you some scrapbooks. And so he brought down some scrapbooks, and we sat in his front yard, and he went through it, and man, I was absolutely blown away.
Wow, that is so, you knew him? I can't believe that you were there when that happened.
And it was an interesting time at the end of it. He says, you know, Steve, I'm so thankful for the opportunities to do what I could do in Washington. But I had to always remember, because that kind of stuff will go to your head, I had to always remember I was a representative of the king. That was the only reason I was there. I wasn't there because I was smart or wise. I was there because the king had sent me. I suspect that Micah must have felt that way as he spoke before kings, looking at his rural background. He probably said, you know, I'm not educated. I don't have a lot of stuff. I'm not sophisticated, but the God of the universe has sent me with a message that is pretty hard, and I'm going to speak it. I'm going to speak it no matter what. All right, let's go through this. Look at the verses 2 through 7 of the first chapter of Micah. Hear, all ye peoples, listen, O earth, and all that in it, let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord, from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord is coming out of his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. That's the places where people worship pagan gods. The mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will split like wax before the fire, like waters poured down a steep place. All this is for the transgression of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Therefore I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the field, places for planting a vineyard. I will pour down her stones into the valley, and I will uncover her foundations. All her carved images shall be beaten to pieces, and all her pay as a harlot shall be burned with fire, and her idols I will lay desolate, for she gathered it from the pay of a harlot, and they shall return to the pay of a harlot. Whoa. Now, if you're really into let's join hands with Jesus and walk off into the sunset together, this is not your kind of verse. This isn't your kind of text. The truth is that God is pretty scary. I have been reading Armin Nicolai's book. It's a book about Freud, and he's an expert. He's a teacher at Harvard and a psychiatrist. And he teaches a regular course on Sigmund Freud, and he's also a Christian, and a very upfront, very profound Christian, and he's also an expert on C.S. Lewis. So, bringing together all the works of Lewis and all of the works of Freud, he's had a debate in this book between Freud and C.S. Lewis, and it's an absolutely fascinating book. I've absolutely loved it. But one of the interesting things, and I knew this before, is that Freud said that we look at God in the way we look at our father. And we are at some place in our lives, we will always reach that point when we realize that our father is not all wise, that he makes mistakes, and he's human just the way we are. And that's a traumatic time, Freud said. When that happens, we have to have a father substitute. And so he said what we had done as Christians, and Freud was an atheist. He was also weird, by the way. He also said some really, really dumb things. He also, well, never mind. But Freud said that what we do is that we create this God as a substitute father. It's a father figure. You know what C.S. Lewis said? I don't think so. Lewis said, listen, if I'm looking for a nice father, this wouldn't be the one. If I was looking for a father who was kind and sweet, it wouldn't be this one. If I were looking for a father who always patted me on the back and gave me wise counsel and hugged me when I didn't do it, it wouldn't be this father. And so I think it's very important when we read Micah that we recognize that you start with a God who is big. I mean, really big. You start with a God who is sovereign, and I mean really sovereign. You look at a God who is the creator and sustainer of everything that is, and he rules it. You got to start with there. His love doesn't mean anything. You got to start there. Or his forgiveness doesn't mean anything. You got to start there. Because if you have a little God, you'll only see little things happening in your life. And Micah in his text says, look, this is the real God. And if this doesn't scare you to death, you're worshiping an idol. I've said it a lot of times, and I'll probably say it a lot of times more. If you've never stood before God and been afraid, you're probably worshiping an idol. And that's absolutely true, but it's not all the truth. If you never stood before God and felt love, then you're probably worshiping an idol. And if you've never stood before God and been confused, you're probably worshiping an idol. God is God. Yahweh, I am, I was, I will be the creator of everything that is. You got to start there. If you don't start there, you don't get anywhere. So, if we've created a father figure, dear friend, it wouldn't be the father figure of Micah 1. It would be a whole lot nicer. A God you can manipulate than this one. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have our Christmas Meditations booklet, I'd love to send it to you. It's a collection of things that I wrote about Christmas. Some are familiar, not so familiar. Maybe a good time to think about Christmas is after Christmas. Send it to you free. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day. You can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org and ask for the Christmas Meditations booklet. We'll send it to you absolutely free. And I really mean that. And if you could help us financially, man, I would appreciate that too. This, as you know, is a very expensive ministry. And the difficulty at the end of the year is to make sure that all the bills are paid. We don't have a slush fund. We don't have a lot of money. And so we live on the edge all the time. And when you help us, you help your brothers and sisters in Christ. You can send a contribution. If you do it, oh, I'd be so appreciative. You can charge it on a MasterCard Visa Discover card. You can include it in your envelope. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. For any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send along the CD version of the Christmas Meditations booklet. It has music, and it's really wonderful. You'll like it. Gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.